I'm George Flynn. Welcome to InDepth TV. I've got as my guest today Dr. Joe Santoso, and he has a wealth of information about something that we've all heard about. Some of us may know about it. Some of us may have even experienced it. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never smoked a joint, a blunt, or whatever you call it. We're going to talk about pot today, marijuana. So, Dr. Santoso, welcome. And I just want to tell you, he is a OBGYN physician. He is a cancer specialist specializing in gynecologic cancer. So, Dr. Santoso, he's learned a lot about things and he wants to share it with us. Pot, marijuana.
Be happy to. Okay. I should also agree with you that I haven't smoked any pot.
But I never smoked a cigarette. It would scare me.
Correct. But I get fascinated with this, with more and more states are obtaining legalizations for marijuana. And marijuana has been used as psychoactive drug in many cultures. Mm-hmm. And what fascinating to me is no single culture except the Inuit in Eskimo area that have not had any psychoactive drug, and marijuana is one of them.
Okay.
So we as human being have been involved with some sort of mind-altering drugs in our history, okay, except the Inuit. And the Inuit couldn't do that just because nothing grow.
Oh, they can't get it.
Correct.
Oh, it's not because they're so virtuous, they just can't get it.
Probably not.
Okay. All right, so that's funny. All right, where did this come from? Who would dream of taking a plant, rolling it up, and smoking it? I mean, do we have any history about why people do this or who came up with it?
It's way back in Asia started it.
Okay.
What fascinating is, similar question you should ask, why would we develop a receptor in our brain for marijuana?
Right. And why does it work?
And what does it do?
Okay.
Let's go one by one. Again, I haven't tried before, but from what I learned, it seemed like it has multiple effect. The psychoactive part could reduce your anxiety, could cause hallucinations, and many other things.
Now, that's the THC part of marijuana.
The tetrahydrocannabinol.
Okay. Correct. THC for the, you know, I knew he would know the chemical name of it, but THC, that's the active part for the
psychoactive.
Psychoactive. Okay. Right. So that's the part of it.
Yeah. It increases the heart rate. Mm-hmm. What interesting is our body at least have two receptor, cannabinoid receptor one, okay, and which is usually in the nervous central system in the brain, and the cannabinoid two is in other part of the
okay
body. The psychoactive is mostly in the brain. It affects the amygdala, which is responsible for your emotions, your hippocampus, which is altering memory, the frontal cortex, altering your judgment, things like that. What interesting is, what does marijuana or THC do that we and our brain evolve to develop receptor for it?
Why do we have this?
Certainly not to get us high.
Yeah.
But what fascinating is, it actually helps us to forget.
Okay.
So we develop endogenous THC to help us forget. That's why we have that receptor.
So the body manufactures THC?
Yes. Cannabinoid.
Yeah.
Or okay cannabis type of agent.
Okay.
Now the question is, why would you want forget things? Wouldn't it be better if we remember things all
things
the time?
I mean, there are memory courses out there. Why would we want to forget?
Correct. So, Dr. Flynn, you were driving from home to work today. And did you remember much about how many traffic light you pass? How many blue car that you pass you?
No.
Correct. That's where the cannabinoid receptor work is. You help yourself to forget things that are not important for your survival.
So all of this input comes in, and you could remember it all, but you'd be overloaded. So
correct,
your receptor helps decrease the noise, and only the important things
correct
get through.
And there are
that's fascinating.
And there are certain people who have stroke or injury to the part of the brain
right.
at which they don't have that cannabinoid receptor, so or destroy that receptor. So they remember everything.
Oh my gosh.
And that destroy, very, very disruptive to their life. In other words, they would remember the rejection from their girlfriend 20 years ago.
I remember that. Now, wait a minute.
And the pain's still the same.
Yes.
So that's very disruptive. So that's where the cannabinoid receptor we evolve to develop with.
Okay. Is there any medical consequence? Have they developed any drug or anything to decrease that receptor so people can have better memory? I mean, not yet.
Well, you could use marijuana to reduce that memory.
But you would reduce it. How would you bring that memory up?
Well, the problem is you don't want to do that.
You don't want to have a stroke.
Correct. You don't want to do that in the sense that if you remember too much, it's not productive either for your life.
Yeah.
The interesting part is it's a balance, just like in anything else in life.
Right.
So this is the part that it should be balanced.
Now, do you see it as extremely addictive or slightly addictive? And I've heard people say, well, it's a gateway drug to more addictive,
This has been well studied. It is somewhat addictive, but not far from addictive like heroin or morphine.
Right.
So it's lower in that
category.
Is it
addictive like smoking? Is it regular cigarettes?
I think smoking is it's higher.
It is?
On its
the
own.
The nicotine type smoking?
Correct.
Okay.
What fascinating to me is with the legalizations of marijuana now, would we see higher risk of developing lung cancer from smoking marijuana? Because you still have the same carcinogenic agent from burning leaves and part of the paper, et cetera, into your lung.
So it might, lung cancer may go up again.
Maybe. Okay. There are some studies that suggest it may not be, but it's not that clear. Why? Because we haven't studied this well enough because it's a restricted drug, so it's very difficult to study. But with further legalization, we will have more data.
Now, if we talk about pot, we're talking about smoking it. What is this I hear about pot in brownies and pot in food? How is that active? You ingest it orally as the same as...
You do.
Same as smoking it?
You do, but the peak is not as quickly. Smoking is the fastest.
So you
would
get
it within minutes, correct?
Okay, and then ingesting it...
Probably takes a few hours to get to that peak.
Slower, okay. So we have pot. And we have it legalized in certain states and not legal in certain states, and it's federally illegal. What are there benefits to it?
In my practice, I start prescribing them for nausea from chemotherapy.
Now, is this the pills?
This is a pill, correct.
Is THC pills?
Correct.
Okay, so nausea, and the other medical benefit I've heard is you talk about people getting the munchies after smoking pot or being hungry. Does it stimulate the appetite?
It does increase appetite.
And a sense of well-being.
Correct.
So it can be used medically and to patient benefit, not just get high and enjoy it. There's another I don't know how active it is, called CBD. And people sell CBD oil. Supposedly for muscle aches and joint pains. And have you heard anything about
yes,
that?
There are differences.
But it doesn't have THC in it.
Correct. There's differences between THC and cannabinols, CBD. I don't remember the differences, but they are different.
But one doesn't make you high.
Correct. The psychoactive is less.
Okay.
You are correct.
So it's less, and it's not available in Tennessee, I don't believe. Not available legally. Is it available in Arkansas now or Mississippi? I mean, when you write the prescription, where can they get it filled? Or is it medically available?
For nausea from chemotherapy, that's legal in the United States.
Do they make a special exception for that, for you to write it, or is it just a pill to in any way?
It's a pill that I just write prescription and the insurance company approve it and the patient get it. Now, we do watch it. Because it's still a controlled drug.
Right.
But so far, I don't see much negative side effect on
and
the medication.
And you've seen a big help for the patient.
It helps some. In other words, again, cancer, nausea induced by cancer and induced by chemotherapy are, again, needs to be taken care using multi-drug approach. So there are steroid, there's an ondansetron, which
is... Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that one. What that was a new drug for nausea. We used to only have things like Phenergan and anti-nauseas like that. What is the new one?
It's not really new, but it's very significant. It makes a huge difference. It's called serotonin antagonist.
Okay.
It's called like ondansetron, or the trade name is Zofran.
Right.
We think when patients get chemotherapy, the chemotherapy agent goes through the vascular system and induces enterochromaffin cell from releasing serotonin. Enterochromaffin are the cell in your gut.
Right.
And that serotonin get really high and gets to the brain and induces nausea. And that ondansetron specifically block that.
Okay.
So that's why that's huge for us, because we used to give cisplatin chemotherapy, which is very nauseating, and now patient tolerated much better.
Okay.
Yeah. But you rely on different drug that use different mechanism, so you could use lower dose and then you attack that nausea problem from different angles.
Okay, back to pot. It is a plant. It is grown. It is harvested. Farmers know how to grow. And what's going to happen? What do you see happening? Is it a lowering of our standards in culture? Is it a acceptance of something that was previously illegal? What do you see as a philosophical aspect of pot?
I don't know. Just like alcohol. Alcohol is another addicting substance.
Right. And we had prohibition there for a while in the United States, and now we repealed it.
Correct. So it seemed to me it's better to be regulated than unregulated in that aspect. So at least we don't push people underground, and you could see how it affects the society. We have to accept that psychoactive drug is used all the time by all culture. The key is try to keep it in moderation.
What does it do to a person's judgment, and should they be driving under the influence of that?
I don't think they should be driving, because it does alter your judgment.
It does.
It does.
It alters your inputs, and I have never seen any huge benefit other than the medical benefits of the anti-nausea. I don't know if it increases someone's creativity or they just think they're more creative.
There are some part of some report that they feel time stand a bit still, so they could be more creative in that sense. What fascinating, even the plant itself evolved with us. It used to be planted outside in Asia and different parts of the world. And then when they come to the United States, you can't do that. So they have to be ingrown illegally inside the room. So that type of changes make selection to the plant too. So the plant now grows shorter.
It does.
And has more higher concentration of THC.
Oh, it does?
It does.
Okay.
And what's fascinating, there's male and female plants, and the resin of the plant has the highest of cannabinoid compound. So what the grower do is they remove the male plants way early. So you have all these female plants asking to be pollinated and not getting any pollen, so they make more resin with higher concentration of THC. So it's almost like a frustrated group of female plants that keep on producing
THC,
begging to get the pollen.
Thank you, Dr. Santoso, for being here. And we'll see you next time on In-Depth TV with George Flint. Thank you.